Our text today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, beginning at verse 5. And he said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Here ends our reading. Please join with me in prayer. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence here to hear your holy word. And we pray that you will open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that through the preaching of your word, we may be taught to repent of our sins, to believe on Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Context, context, context. So important when you're reading scripture, always to get the context. What's the background? What's going on here? Read a couple of verses before and find out what's going on. And as we look at this text today, the context is found back in verse 1. And if you have your Bibles, you can read along with me. Not necessary, I'll read it to you. But this is the context. "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" Now, the first thing that I noticed there, and I know I've been harping on this, but I'm going to, I guess, continue harping as long as the text allows me to, is that Jesus went to a certain place to pray. We've been talking about the necessity of finding a certain place to pray. That's why this church door is open every Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. so that you have a place to come to pray. Now, is it necessary that this be at 6 a.m. for you to find a certain place every day? No. Is it necessary for this to be the certain place? No. But find a certain place, whether it's here, whether it's in a park somewhere, at a beach, in a coffee shop, in a restaurant, find a certain place. You could try a certain place in your house, okay? But I'm going to tell you, you've got to be disciplined to do that. Because when you're in the house demands your attention, doesn't it? It just screams at you. You know, you need to do this, you need to do that. And it's very, very hard to make that regular appointment for prayer because the house and all of its demands don't allow you to do that. So find a certain place and then make an appointment. How many of you have calendars in your kitchen or somewhere in the house and you look at it and you can look at the whole month of May? Doctor's appointment, 4:30, dentist, 10 o'clock, haircut, golf lesson for me. Golf lesson. I've had and more and more golf. But you know what I mean? You write those appointments on the calendar. Soccer practice, soccer game, and they're there. And you wouldn't think of missing those appointments. And yet so often, we don't put God into our appointment calendar, do we? And when we don't, it's easy to forget about him. So a certain time, certain place, very, very important. Now, another thing that we've been talking about is to make sure that you do this with another person. And there are tremendous benefits with meeting God at a certain place, at a certain time, with another person. First of all, when you meet with another person, as you read the scripture to yourself and do your devotion, whatever, God is teaching you something, it enables you then to speak it back to that person. And you all know that when you speak something back, it helps reinforce it, it helps you learn it more. Plus, the other person is speaking back to you what God has been speaking to them, and you learn from them as well. But another benefit of meeting with another person is it holds you accountable. Because you set up a certain time and a certain place, and you feel obligated to be there so you don't leave that other person high and dry. You know, I get up every morning now, Monday through Friday at 4:30. And the temptation is there to just roll over and say, forget it, I'm tired. But you know what? I know people are counting on me to be here. And so that gives me the impetus to come. So that's why we say it'd be nice to have another person, because that helps make you more accountable. And this certain place and certain time is much more important, I think, than we make it to be. Jesus, when you read about him praying in Scripture, he always went away. He went away. You know, he just didn't find a quiet place in the house or roll over in bed. He went away to pray. And as I was looking at this, I found this verse from the Song of Solomon. Oh, my precious brothers and sisters, listen, just if you don't get anything out of this message today, listen to what Jesus says to you in the Song of Solomon. It's chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff, let me see your voice. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. That's for you. That's your invitation. And I tell you, not many people are going to tell you early in the morning, your face is lovely and your voice your voice is pleasant. But God will. He's just glad to see you. He's just glad to see you. So here the disciples, they note that Jesus has a pretty effective ministry. And they make the link between his effective ministry and prayer. They notice something special about Jesus. And so they say, teach us to pray like you do. You know, John taught his disciples, we're your disciples, teach us to pray. And that's another benefit of going away to make these appointments with God at a certain time and praying and getting into the Word, is that sooner or later people are going to start noticing that there's something different about you. You've got more of the Holy Spirit, and they will notice. Now, the first part of this chapter deals with prayer. The first part is what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. Now, just in a nutshell, you could preach the Lord's Prayer for months and take it apart. When we go to confirmation class, we spend a lot of time going through the different petitions of the Lord's Prayer. But the Lord's Prayer, summed up in a nutshell, is this. It's what God gave his church for their needs. Everything that we need from now until Jesus comes again is found in the Lord's Prayer. That reminder that his kingdom is coming. The forgiveness of sins. The necessity of forgiving others. The deliverance from evil. The provision for daily bread. Everything that we need to make it home is found in the Lord's Prayer. So the Lord's Prayer deals with needs. But there's more to be learned. And God wants to give us more than our needs. More than our needs. He wants to enlarge the conduit of His grace. He wants to enlarge the conduit of His grace. And that's what the second part of this prayer is all about. Enlarging the conduit of God's grace into your life. Now, what is grace? A name that gets thrown around all the time. Well, my favorite description of grace is divine influence on your heart. God wants to bring more divine influence onto your heart. But grace is also, we could call it heavenly help. We could call it power, the power of the Holy Spirit. These are things that we could call grace. It is every good thing that comes from God. And as James has written, every good and perfect gift is from where? From above. From above. So in this prayer, this asking, seeking, and knocking is all about bringing more of that grace, bringing more of the Holy Spirit into our lives. More grace, more power, more Holy Spirit. And then if you're looking at these verses, if you look at verses 5 through 9, if you break these down, you will see that Jesus uses an illustration in verses 5 through 9. You know, the friend and the bread and the midnight and the late hour and everything. He uses that illustration to prepare His disciples for His instruction on prayer, His next instruction. And His next instruction on prayer is found in verse 11 and 13, which is we need to ask, to seek, and to knock. And then in verses 11 through 13, He gives another illustration to undergird His point and to build up our confidence in coming to our Heavenly Father. And then the final thing He says is what this asking, seeking, and knocking will deliver. And it will deliver the Holy Spirit. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Now, if you look at the verses 5 through 8, the whole point of that is simply this. God is better than your best friend. God is absolutely far superior to the nth power than the best friend you could ever find here on earth. I mean, think about this. Picture this. It's midnight. You've been in bed for a couple of hours. The kids have been cranky all night. Now they're finally asleep. You've got the door locked. It's midnight. Hey, Mike! Mike! Mike, an old army buddy of mine just got here. You got any chips and dip? Mike? What would you say to that, Mike? Remember, you're in church.
I'll be right down.
I'll be right down. Right.
And how much did you pay him to say?
The thing of it is, Jesus knows what we'd say. What are you, crazy? Get out of here. It's midnight, for crying out loud. Go to bed. Come back here tomorrow morning. Jesus knows what we would say. And we're best friends. You see, we're best friends. But God is better than your best friend. Better. And the friend thing isn't going to cut it, He says, but persistence will. Because no matter what Mike says, if I keep knocking, eventually He'll come down and open that door. He may have a gun in His hand, but He's going to come down and He's going to open up that door. Persistence wins out here over friendship. But we're talking here about prayer. We're talking about a conversation with God. And we're not knocking on just a friend's door. We're, as Bob Dylan used to sing, knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door, aren't we? This is God's door that we're knocking on. And He could care less about the hour. He doesn't care when you come to Him with your prayers. He doesn't care if it's midnight or if the door is locked. His door is never locked. It is always open. Hebrews 4, verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." What are we coming for? We're not coming for the need, are we? We're coming for the grace and mercy for our time of need. Joe Briscoe talked a little bit about this at the National Day of Prayer Breakfast this week, of how important it is to build up this relationship with God in prayer when the good times are rolling, instead of waiting for when they get rough. I mean, not to say that you can't pray when they're rough, but it's so much better to build that up beforehand. So we're not coming here for the need. We're coming for grace and mercy for the time of need. And Jesus says, now listen, He says, because your Father is so much better than the best friend, what are you waiting for? Ask, He says, seek and knock. If you need bread, don't worry about it. You're going to get bread. But I'm telling you, bread is nothing compared to what God wants to give you. Matthew 4:4, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God wants to enlarge every one of your conduits to receive more of His grace and mercy, to receive more of the Holy Spirit. Ask, seek, and knock. Now, sometimes you just want to say, you know what, but I don't need the Holy Spirit now. I need a job, or I need guidance, or I need healing. You know, fill in the blank. Yes, you have needs, but the Father knows your needs. And Jesus anticipates your complaint here by assuring us of the fact that God does know your needs, and that He's not going to give you junk. He's going to give you good stuff. And He uses that illustration of, you know, we're evil people. And if our son asks for bread, we're not going to give him a stone, which can look like a loaf of bread. Or if he asks for a fish, we're not going to give him a snake or an eel, which can also, that's a counterfeit. Or if he asks for an egg, we're not going to give him a scorpion. And those scorpions, by the way, when they roll up, they kind of look like an egg, you know. And so this is about counterfeits. We're not, you know, we even as sinful people aren't going to do that. And God will never give you anything counterfeit. Never. And one of the problems that we have when we pray is we begin listening to the world around us, and we look at the people in the world around us, and we perceive needs that really aren't needs. The world makes us think that they're needs, but they're not really needs. And so God says, don't worry about your needs. I know the real needs. That's what He's saying here. I know the real needs. And the real need for each and every one of us is more of the Holy Spirit. God will take care of the rest. The Lord's Prayer. That's how we pray for our needs. The way we obtain our needs is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things, all of our needs, will be added unto us. And the way we seek God and His kingdom and His righteousness is we dive into the book, don't we? We dive into God's Word. John 14:15 says, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The word keep means treasure. If you love me, treasure my commandments. Treasure my word. And then I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper. He will give you the Holy Spirit. He'll give you more of the Holy Spirit. John 14:21. He who has my commandments, my word, and keeps them, treasures them. It is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And how does Jesus manifest himself to us now? In the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes to us in greater measure as we treasure His Word. And the proof of our treasuring The proof is found in our desire to get into it and to act on it, to act on what the Holy Spirit is teaching us. So the idea of asking, seeking, and knocking is connected here with more of the Holy Spirit. First of all, ask for an enlarged conduit for the Holy Spirit. Ask for more of the Holy Spirit. Seek. Search the Scriptures, because that's where you will find Him. He wrote the book. The Holy Spirit moved holy men of God, and they wrote this book. This is where you will find the Holy Spirit. This is where you will learn of Him. And then learn to trust what He's writing. Learn to obey what He's calling you to obey. And then knock. Be persistent. Don't be a flash in the pan. Keep coming. Make it a regular habit. Keep coming and coming and knocking on the door. And God says, I will give you the Holy Spirit. It is a promise that He will open up the floodgate and send His grace to you in the package of the Holy Spirit. Everyone who asks, seeks, and knocks will receive. That is a promise from God. And so we need, you know, we've got a couple of things going on here. I thought I'd bring a little illustration for you. All right? Don't settle for the straw coming down from heaven of the Holy Spirit. Don't settle for that. Settle for a conduit. Settle for a pipe gushing forth with the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, and again, this gets back to what Jill Briscoe says. The time to do it is now, when the things aren't rough. Because if this is your conduit for the Holy Spirit, how much outside pressure does it take to shut it off? And that's what happens with our weak Christian walk so many times. Because we haven't built up our conduit, the least little outside pressure comes along, and the flow we give in is shut off. Try doing that with this. You can't. I can't pinch that shut, because God has enlarged my conduit, because I've been daily seeking Him and in prayer with Him in His Word. Don't settle for a straw. Go for the pipe. Now, I want to just make one caution about this, because this is another trap that we can fall into. God promises to give us all of this grace and all of this knowledge. But if we don't uncap it, if we don't let it flow out of us, it doesn't matter how much He pours in. Doesn't matter how much knowledge we have, how much grace, how much Holy Spirit we have. If we plug up the end of the cap, we're like the front of your bulletin. You see, on the left, you've got a leaky little faucet. Drip, drip, drip of the Holy Spirit. But on the other end, you've got an unhindered flow. And so you take this knowledge and this grace that you pick up, and when you make your regular appointments with God in prayer and Bible study with other people, you take that and then you use it as you interact with people on a day-to-day basis. And God just keeps it flowing. He just keeps it flowing. And you're coming every day and your pipe is getting larger and larger, and more of it just coming out. Oh, do you see? Do you see why the disciples wanted some of this? That's what Jesus had. And that's what God wants us to have. He doesn't want us to settle just for our needs. He wants us to be that conduit of the Holy Spirit coming down from heaven and then being poured out of us into a world that so desperately needs. So commit. Commit to enlarging. Come often to the source and be persistent. And God promises, He promises to give you more of the Holy Spirit. Now again, I extend the morning invitation to you, But if that doesn't work, find another time. And find another person. And find that certain place. And ask God to enlarge your conduit. Dig into His Word. Be persistent. And then pour out what He pours in to others. Amen.